Chapter 3. She wasn't. Doris was waiting for him at the door of their apartment, in an easy stance, hand on one hip, looking very much as she had when he had first met her at this university 8 years before. Slim, shapely, with curly reddish gold hair. Very beautiful in his eyes, but not very beautiful in any objective sense, though he had never been able to assess her objectively after the first few days of their friendship. Doris Benabili. That's what he thought when he saw her calm face. There were many worlds, even many sectors on Trantor, where it would have been common to call her Doris Selden. But that, he always thought, would put the mark of ownership on her, and he did not wish it, even though the custom was sanctioned by existence back into the vague mists of the pre-imperial past. Doris said, softly, and with a sad shake of her head that barely disturbed her loose curls, "I've heard, Harry. Just what am I going to do with you?" "A kiss would not be amiss." "Well, perhaps, but only after we probe this a little. Come in." The door closed behind them. "You know, dear, I have my course and my research. I'm still doing that dreadful history of the Kingdom of Trantor, which you tell me is essential to your own work. Shall I drop it all and take to wandering around with you, protecting you? It's still my job, you know. It's more than ever my job, now that you're making progress with psychohistory." "Making progress? I wish I were. But you needn't protect me." "Needn't I? I sent Rach out looking for you. After all, you were late and I was concerned. You usually tell me when you're going to be late." "I'm sorry if that makes me sound as though I'm your keeper, Harry, but I am your keeper." "Does it occur to you, Keeper Doris, that every once in a while I like to slip my leash?" "And if something happens to you, what do I tell Demerzel?" "Am I too late for dinner? Have we clicked for kitchen service?" "No, I was waiting for you. And as long as you're here, you click it. You're a great deal pickier than I am when it comes to food, and don't change the subject." "Didn't Rach tell you that I was all right? So what's there to talk about?" "When he found you, you were in control of the situation, and he got back here first, but not by much. I didn't hear any details." "Tell me, what were you doing?" Selden shrugged. "There was an illegal gathering, Doris, and I broke it up. The university could have gotten a good deal of trouble it didn't need if I hadn't." "And it was up to you to prevent it? Harry, you're not a twister anymore. You're an..." He put in hastily. "An old man?" "For a twister, yes. You're 40. How do you feel?" "Well, a little stiff." "I can well imagine. And one of these days, when you try to pretend you're a young Heliconian athlete, you'll break a rib. Now, tell me about it." "Well, I told you how Amaryl warned me that Demerzel was in trouble because of the demagoguery of Jojo Joranum." "Jojo? Yes, I know that much. What don't I know? What happened today?" "There was a rally at the field. A Jojo partisan named Namarti was addressing the crowd." "Namarti is Gambol Dean Namarti, Joranum's right-hand man."
"Well, you know more about it than I do."
"In any case, he was addressing a large crowd, and he had no permit, and I think he was hoping there would be some sort of riot. They feed on these disorders. And if he could close down the university, even temporarily, he would charge Demerzel with the destruction of academic freedom. I gather they blame him for everything. So I stopped them, sent them off without a riot. You sound proud.
Why not? Not bad for a man of 40.
Is that why you did it? To test your status at 40?
Selden thoughtfully clicked the dinner menu. Then he said, No, I really was concerned that the university would get into needless trouble. And I was concerned about Demerzel. I'm afraid that Hugo's tales of danger had impressed me more than I realized.
That was stupid, Doris, because I know that Demerzel can take care of himself.
I couldn't explain that to Hugo, or to anyone but you.
He drew in a deep breath. It's amazing what a pleasure it is that I can at least talk to you about it. You know, and I know, and Demerzel knows, and no one else knows, at least that I know of, that Demerzel is untouchable.
Doris touched a contact on a recessed wall panel, and the dining section of their living quarters lit up with a soft peach-colored glow. Together, she and Harry walked to the table, which was already set with linen, crystal, and utensils. As they sat, the dinner began to arrive. There was never any long delay at this time of evening, and Selden accepted it quite casually. He had long since grown accustomed to the social position that made it unnecessary for them to patronize the faculty dinners. Selden savored the seasonings they had learned to enjoy during their stay at Mycogen. The only thing about that strange, male-dominated, religion-permeated, living-in-the-past sector they had not detested.
Doris said softly, How do you mean, untouchable?
Come, dear, he can alter emotions. You haven't forgotten that. If Joronum really became dangerous, he could be... He made a vague gesture with his hands. Altered. Made to change his mind.
Doris looked uncomfortable, and the meal proceeded in an unusual silence. It wasn't until it was over, and the remains, dishes, cutlery, and all, swirled down the disposal chute in the center of the table, which then smoothly covered itself over, that she said,
I'm not sure I want to talk about this, Harry, but I can't let you be fooled by your own innocence.
Innocence? He frowned.
Yes. We've never talked about this. I never thought it would come up. But Demerzel has shortcomings. He is not untouchable. He may be harmed. And Joronum is indeed a danger to him.
Are you serious?
Of course I am. You don't understand robots. Certainly not one as complex as Demerzel. And I do.